Just have a question here. It says, the word is the sword. Is he, I'm assuming the Spirit of God, is he also the sword of the word? The word is the sword. Is he also, quote unquote, the sword of the word?
I come right from the scripture. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Is that what your Bible says? Is that what he is? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Does that answer that question?
I turned in my Bible to Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrows, and is a discerner, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hmm. So you have these elements as to the word of God and the Spirit of God in relation to the word of God.
Thy word, O God, is settled forever in heaven. Hmm. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Emil mentioned the weapons in the army. Years ago, when we went into the Vietnam War, we had the M16. It was absolutely a wonderful weapon till it got dirt in it. And when it got dirt in it, we found that our forces in that horrible war were facing an enemy with weapons that would not work. Well, there's no danger of this weapon here getting dirt in it. There is the danger, and this is what we're talking about with you and I in our lives, that we have things in our lives that hinder the working of the Spirit of God in and through us. But, you know, this is the flawless, if we could say it about this way, with the Word of God. This is why I need to immerse myself in it. That I need to learn it. We challenge the young people year after year after year. Read a book of the Bible for 30 days. Go home and read the book of Philippians 30 days in a row. And in 30 days, you will be able to quote that book. I'm telling you, it works. Read 2 Timothy 30 days in a row. Set aside a time and read it. The end of a month, you will know that book. You will not have to, in a circumstance, have somebody say, well, look, I know there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that speaks about that. No, you will know it. And it has been transferred from here, the pages of this book, into your mind. And so the situation comes up, and the Spirit of God brings those verses back, just like lightning. He's able to do that. But if I neglect the Word of God, I'll find that I will be defeated. Doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. Doesn't mean I don't belong to the Lord. But it will mean that others will have a life that displays Christ in a far different way than I have.
You know, as we've been contemplating really Christ in the midst this week, and now as we've been looking at the Spirit of God, a divine person, the activities of the Spirit, just an example for your encouragement as we see this. I don't want to use the word amazed, but I find so much joy in my heart when I hear that in the middle of an African jungle, there are saints that have nothing less or nothing more than the Word of God. Nothing more than the Word of God. And what's their desire? To come, to be gathered together where Christ is in the midst of his own. How do they know that? How is that learned? They have this book, the Word of God. And as Chuck said, they've read it. And then what's happened? The energy of the Spirit of God dwelling within has revealed to them what is written in the Word of God. And they said, there is a path. There's a path to gather on that is given to us in the Word of God. And I want to follow that path. And here they are, nothing else. And that's the desire of heart to follow along that way. And this is the proof of the energy and the power of the Spirit of God through the Word of God.
And doesn't it bring us back to the four pillars that we had? The teaching of the apostles, the fellowship that they have one with another, the expression of that fellowship that we have in the breaking of bread, in the maintenance of that testimony, even in a jungle. Even in a jungle, wherever, the Spirit of God in us, the Word of God in our hands, and we have this last point, the power of prayer to maintain what is here for us. We have that in that last little phrase, praying in, or prayer in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. It is really the powerhouse of the assembly. I have to realize that. If there's going to be victory in a public gathering or in my life personally, it is only going to be by an ungrieved spirit, by the Word of God dwelling richly in us, and by you and I on a daily basis, ever looking to Him in prayer to sustain us.
I was just looking for some clarification, I guess, because in the outline, it did say that the Spirit is the sword of the Word. But I don't see that in the references here. It says that you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of the God is the sword that the Spirit uses. And also, in the verse from Hebrews that you quoted, it says that the Word of God is, living and powerful, but it doesn't say that, the Spirit is the sword that the Word of God uses.
If I've expressed it in a way that's caused confusion, I apologize. I tried to come right from the verse to here. The wording is a little bit different. I didn't mean any different, and I don't think it should detain us this morning to make a point out of something that is really not a point. May I say that?
Yeah, and I think what we need to do, and that's why it's really important always, and I think that's a good example, and Brother Chuck, you know, graciously have said, examine everything in the light of the Word of God. Yeah. When you read a statement, when you hear something, it doesn't matter who said it. And Brother Chuck said that earlier on. If I said it, if anybody said it, just check the Word of God. And that's a really, that's why we need, because you know the verse. You look at the statement, you said, okay, explain this one to me. And you know what? That's a really, really good thing. Remember the two things that you have in a warfare. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a warfare. There are terrorists around us all the time. They want to blow up everything. And you need to be on guard. You need to have intelligence. You need to know how they operate. And you need to know what weapon that you have to defend yourself. And the scripture gives us two things. He gives us that sword to defend, and we need to be familiar with it. Those of us who are in the army, as we already have heard, they teach you. I mean, the pilot that flies that F-16 knows every little instrument in there. As a matter of fact, as he is sitting there, he could hear the buzz of the engine, and he would know if there's something wrong. That's how they are in tune to their things. They know if their M-16 have a little dirt in it, but just by feeling it. That's how close they are to the Word of God. But the other thing in the warfare that is really vital and important, the mean of communication. The first thing that the enemy does is cut the mean of communication or jam it. So you would not have any communication with the headquarters. And that's why we get the matter of praying in the Spirit. Because what you need to realize, you have the Word of God. You know what it is, but you need to depend on the Lord to help you, to give you instruction. We have heard it already. To give me the right word at the right time. To tell me what to do and how to do it. These two things are vital. And don't tell me, well, I really don't pray enough because I'm tired. Or I only pray when I have a problem. Reading the word and praying. It's read your Bible and pray every day. It's just very simple. It's a very simple song. Read your Bible and pray every day and you will grow. Grow, grow.
I wonder if we perhaps should just take a little stand-up break before we go. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at time has zipped right away. Before we go into this next section that is kind of added, we hope to clarify some of the things. Yes, brother.